We have a dog by the name of Chester, and he is one of the most nosy dogs you could find. Take him for a walk, and every little open gateway or closed, he wants to look in. Any brief thing happening, and he's darting to explore it. In fact, he's a bit of a nightmare to take a walk, but never mind. And the thing that attracts him, I think, more than anything else is when you're walking along a road and there is a wall at the side. If it's a small wall, if he wasn't on the lead, he'd be over it. But more often than not, it's a much higher wall. But what is over there, he asks. And he stands there and he can reach up quite high and his paws are there and he's peeking to see what might be over there. Probably somebody's garden, might be a piece of field. As we go along, there's a building site. What have they done today? No, nothing. It's pretty much a standstill. But he has to see what might be over that wall. And it reminds me of children, particularly small children, going a walk and saying, "What's up there? Lift me up, Mummy. Lift me up, Daddy. I want to see what's over that wall." You hope that it's something worth seeing. It's a garden that's tended rather than a load of rubbish that's collected. But they're curious. They want to see. And then I think about the athletes, particularly those who have to come to obstacles as part of their athletic course. Someone who is doing high jump and the bar is lifted higher and higher as the competition goes on. And each time they have to clear a wall, as it were, even though it's just a bar, that is higher than it has been and have to clear it successfully if they're going to make that goal and then succeed within the competition. And how much more if it's a pole vault? Because that is up there somewhere. And they have a large pole with which to vault. And quite honestly, how do you think that the person who is whatever height from the ground is going to get up there and over it? It's quite fascinating to watch. And of course, the experts, the ones who train, succeed. And just like in high jump, it comes higher and higher until eventually they've obtained a winner for the competition. And the other athletics event that has something not quite the same but similar is the steeplechase. Okay, not as high, but in going around that course, that particular hurdle has to be cleared in some way. They can put their foot on it, but they still have to go over it to continue the course. And in our psalm we read, "With the help of God, I can scale a city wall." It gives us pictures. It gives us pictures of trying to leap over a wall, to jump over obstacles, to find what is beyond, or possibly to escape from what is behind. Roger was just flicking about on the television and we came across one of those programs about the helicopter, the police helicopter, following those who were on the ground and trying to escape from the policeman chasing them after having committed some sort of felony. And there was one they were following with the heat imaging. And he comes along and he said, "He's just about to get over that wall, into that garden, blah, blah." That was this afternoon. He just landed on that and that was the bit that came in. In other words, he was escaping, or so he thought, from the law and from what he had done. And the psalmist, when he uses that phrase, is talking about escaping. He needs to escape his enemies. When King Saul turned against David, He had to flee from the anger of the king, and he was in hiding. That was at one point of his life. And then when David himself became king, he was often fighting the enemies of his country. And sometimes it seemed to him that in his life, the armies that he had to face and the difficulties that his country faced were like walls before him. And sometimes he had to break through the wall defences of cities in order to achieve victory. But God helped him. And in this psalm, he recognised what God had given him, a place of liberty. And when he's writing this psalm, he's looking back and he's thankful for what he's found beyond the wall. He's been given the strength to jump, to serve God by leading his people and by knowing the gifts of God. He says, God is a shield to all who trust in him. Who is the rock but our God? Exalted be the God of our salvation. And then we heard from Paul. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and at that time Paul is in prison. He's behind walls, if you like. And he too was someone who knew what it was to have enemies. Not just the people that were against him and his ministry, but the enemies he encountered within his life, the struggles, the hunger, the need, the times when he'd had to flee for his life because people didn't like him proclaiming a gospel message. He'd faced a wall of oppression to that message. And yet he testified that throughout it all, God had been with him. Beyond the wall of his problems, he had found strength in Christ. And he was also thankful for the faithfulness of the people at the church in Philippi, for they'd been supporting him and meeting his very needs. And he declared that nothing had been impossible. I can do all things through Christ, he says, who strengthens me, or who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I chose not to speak about Jonah tonight because I know it was part of this morning's services. But it occurred to me that Jonah faced a wall. And at the beginning of that book, it was the wall of disobedience. He didn't want to go to take a message to the enemies of his country. And he came to realize, as that story unfolded, and as indeed we will experience, that God had to, as it were, knock the wall down so that there would indeed be his obedience and ultimately the repentance that God was asking from the people of Nineveh. So there's a wall in that story as well. And we can know walls within our lives, either our lives as individual or our lives collectively, corporately, as the people of God. We can be surrounded by fears, prejudices, worries, the fear of failure, illness, grief, dying. On the other hand, it might be fear of progress within our churches. An odd thing to say. We want to progress, but what might it mean? We might be facing change and new challenges, and they frighten us. We sometimes feel hemmed in and long to escape, but how? And these feelings are such walls that are like obstacles and that can hinder our relationship with God and with others. I think we must first say that we have to acknowledge that these thoughts and feelings will exist from time to time and own up to God, for He understands when we doubt and when we question. In fact, I'm sure He'd rather us be honest with Him than try and pretend things are all right when they're not. But having acknowledged that, then we can remember that He is stronger than we can imagine. And we can turn to Him again and ask for His help and His guidance. Remember the time, some years ago, when it seemed that the Berlin Wall would be there permanently, but it was broken down. It is no longer there. It has been demolished. But walls can also be obstacles that prevent progress. We can make excuses. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not clever enough. I don't have sufficient money or resources. But God comes along and says, but I can use anyone and everyone. He can take the problems and the excuses we give and turn them to His opportunities. Paul knew all about it. If we look at the story of Paul and his life, remember that he turned to God because he had a problem, the thing that he called his thorn in the flesh, something that troubled him mightily. And he said to God, please remove it. I'll be more effective surely for you and your work if I haven't got this problem to contend with. No, it wasn't removed. He was enabled to be even more mighty in his work for God. For God told him that His grace was sufficient. So walls need to be jumped over sometimes to escape the dragging down of the obstacles. We must ask God to give us a larger vision, that the world is His world and His work is our work. Our objections can be put into perspective. Just think of that well-known story in the Gospels that all the Gospel writers tell. How were 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a great crowd? But Jesus knew, and He multiplied and satisfied the need. Great obstacle, no way, didn't make sense, until placed into the hands of our Lord Jesus. So walls can also be jumped to find opportunities on the far side. Sometimes the grass might actually be greener. We know when we see the sheep coming across out of their own field and we say, what are they doing? Why is that piece of grass better than where they were grazing? But sometimes in the Christian context it can be true, because God has prepared a better thing for us. The psalmist found his liberty. Paul knew God's strength. And we need to ask what is in store for us, and that God will give to us out of His storehouse. This is partly for our lives here, and partly for the promise of life hereafter. I mentioned that for some, a great fear is of dying. But we know that Jesus has gone before. We celebrated again, not so very long ago, Easter, the Ascension, the gift of the Spirit. Our Lord has overcome death, and we are invited to meet him in the place he has prepared. So do we see walls can be negative, but also positive? They can prevent our walk with God, or be the springboard to new things. The modern steeplechase runner uses the wall, as I mentioned earlier, to carry him or her forward along the track. And that name, steeplechase, was originally a race through the streets, through the fields, towards a church steeple. How much more if we spring forward with God's Spirit? So that we could say, with the help of God, I can scale a city wall and can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we were on holiday a fortnight ago, we went to Lindisfarne, Holy Island. And you won't be able to see it from here, but I'll read it to you. I picked this up. I'm intending to give it to someone, but might end up keeping it. I've just unpacked it anyway. But it says this: happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. As it says in one of the choruses that's in Mission Praise, God is at work in us, his purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words. When things impossible, by faith shall be made possible. Let's give the glory to him now. Though we are weak, his grace is everything we need. We're made of clay, but this treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice. Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives. He lives. His breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army. We arise. Amen.